Okay, I'm going to try to give a very brief overview of a couple of sort of big topics, each of which could probably have their own day. But just in an effort to keep everybody aware of some of the other things that are going on in the state that pertain to maternal quality, maternal health care quality improvement that we've sort of been connected to through PCNIC or that you all may be connected to locally, just so we all know what we're all working on. So one is the birth certificate, and I'm just I think everybody that's on this call is somewhat familiar with the new birth certificate, since we are all using it in our North Carolina hospitals as of December. But this is it's the 2003 standard U.S. birth certificate that we implemented. North Carolina was the 38th state, so we're towards the end of the pack, but not the last. Everyone is now on board using the new product. It's a web-based data entry program. It certainly is software that is much more of the modern age than the previous DOS-based system that we were using in North Carolina up until August or September of this year. And the new birth certificate is relevant to our work because it contains a lot more of the information that we who are working on improving the quality of care for maternal health are concerned about. So it's longer. It has 58 questions instead of the 43 on the old version. And most of the new data that is collected is clinical. And this brings up with the reason that we at PCNIC ended up getting involved is that we were partnered with Vital Records around this. Vital Records had a minimal to non-existent training budget for how to disseminate the information about the new birth certificate, and their responsibility was just to get all the birth registrars at the hospitals on board, pretty much just how to fill out the form and use the new software to get the data transferred to the state. They had no resources at all to reach out to clinicians, and obviously with a new birth certificate that contains a lot more clinical data, a lot more sophisticated type of data, it's important to have the clinical piece on board. I know several of your hospitals have been involved in having nurses help fill out the new birth certificate. Some places already were having nurses help out, but especially given the more extensive clinical information, it seems like there's a role for nursing in this. And that was sort of how we ended up talking with Vital Records, since they knew we talked to many of you, to try to promote really partnership between nurses and birth registrars if that doesn't already exist. I have not heard of a place where there's been an increase in the budget for birth registrars to collect this additional data. So everyone's now doing more with the same resources they had, as far as I can tell. And it's a challenge. That being said, the kind of data that's on there is exactly the kind of data that you all are knocking yourselves out collecting for this project. And our hope is that someday our birth certificate data would be reliable enough that we wouldn't need to have our participating hospitals have to hand collect so much data. There are very specific questions around induction and induction methods, around various complications of the L&D process, complications of the mom during her L&D course, complications of the baby. And even some of the existing ones that we were familiar with have been better categorized, so it's much easier to work with the data, and the data should be much more reliable than it was. But things like augmentation are captured, the use of steroids for fetal lung maturity, if the mom got antibiotics during labor, was chorio diagnosed, presence of meconium, fetal intolerance of labor, use of epidurals, all these things that right now we're collecting by hand. And there's been a real concern that we've heard from several of the hospitals we're working with that the birth certificate data as it is not reliable enough to use to drive quality improvement work. And in fact, the Ohio Perinatal Quality Collaborative did a study that they published last year, and I can put that on our extranet, that shows that probably that is the case, that the birth certificate data is not wrong, but it's incomplete. So it doesn't sufficiently represent whatever condition you're describing. If you're looking for chronic disease in the mom, it will underestimate the presence of hypertension significantly. Again, that being said, our belief is that if nursing partners with the birth registrars to ensure the best possible data and the most complete data gets to the state, we'll be able to rely on that data a lot more and do a lot more with that. And I know some of your hospitals have really taken that on. So I would encourage those of you who haven't to think about doing so. as you've just seen from websites, this data is also tracked at the level of the hospital, so it is probably in your hospital's best interest to have as complete birth certificate data as possible, because, of course, this is what gets turned over to the National Center for Health Statistics at the CDC. So the better we can represent what's going on in terms of birth in North Carolina, the better position we're in when it comes time to line up for resources and things like that. And again, just from a purely selfish perspective of the PICNIC initiatives, the more we can work with birth certificate data and feel confident that it's telling us what we need to know, the less time you all have to spend getting your staff to collect data for these projects. So hopefully that's good incentive right there. The other initiative I want to talk about is the Pregnancy Home Initiative for Medicaid patients. It's going to roll out this spring that I'm currently up to my eyeballs in. And so I've reduced my time with PICNIC over the past several months because this project has really ramped up. And one of the other team members who you'll probably hear more from later but who's on with us today is Jessica Phipps, who's a grad student in maternal and child health here at UNC, who's been helping to share my responsibilities since I've decreased my PICNIC hours to work on this Pregnancy Home project. So this is a project that's coming soon, this spring, and it's a partnership between Medicaid, the Division of Public Health, and Community Care of North Carolina. Community Care of North Carolina, or CCNC, is sort of our quasi-managed care entity for Medicaid patients in North Carolina. It's a group of 14 networks that cover all the counties in the state, and right now they're very active in the primary care world, and anyone who works in primary care will be familiar with them. Most of us may have heard of Carolina Access, and this is this is sort of the next evolution of the Carolina Access program, which is that patients are linked with primary care medical homes, and those primary care medical homes are part of the CCNC networks around the state. They get an enhanced fee to manage the care of those patients and ensure that they're meeting targets, particularly around certain chronic diseases, diabetes, and congestive heart failure, hypertension, and for kids, they focus around asthma and other conditions. All that being said, there's been an interest in, obviously, an opportunity, and an opportunity other states have taken advantage of in some ways is to really manage well your high-risk pregnant population, and we have not done that in North Carolina for our Medicaid patients. So the goal of having pregnancy medical homes is to improve our birth outcomes by ensuring that our Medicaid patients get evidence-based, high-quality maternity care. Obviously, particularly in the public sector, we're dealing with limited perinatal health resources. They seem to be getting more limited by the year. With a specific focus on targeting our preterm birth rate, our rate of low birth weight, and the C-section rate. And that, you know, those areas are really where we can see some bang for the buck and really, if we focus our resources, hopefully really see an impact on birth outcomes in our state. There are a lot of folks involved in rolling this out, as you might imagine. So at the state level, there's a Medicaid team, there's a Division of Public Health team, there's a CCNC OB work group, which is what I have shifted to coordinating, that includes clinicians, local health departments, people at the state level. It's a pretty large herd of cats we're keeping track of. This is what the networks look like across the state, and again, this information will be posted. Community Care, CCNC has a website, so if you're not familiar, you can check and see what network you would fall into. And I bring that up because as this rolls out, this will be focused much more on the outpatient side of things, but the networks obviously have a real interest in partnering with all providers of maternity care in their territory because they will be held accountable by Medicaid for the outcomes that we're expected to achieve. So obviously bringing OB leadership and maternal health leadership into the networks is going to be important for those of you who are not already connected. This is something you may start to hear about. And the networks are very grassroots organized, so they have a local board for every network. They have a clinician committee for every network. So that is going to kind of start spreading into the OB world for Medicaid providers who can be a pregnancy home. So any current provider of maternity care can sign an agreement with their local CCNC network to become a pregnancy home. You have to be a Medicaid provider, so if you're not already taking care of Medicaid patients, you have to first sign up to do that. So that includes pretty much anyone who's providing prenatal care in our state. These are folks who might also be already Carolina Access providers, but that's sort of a separate deal. It's not a requirement of this. You can just be a regular OB provider of Medicaid and become a pregnancy home. In terms of responsibilities, and this is why I particularly wanted to flag this for this group, because there is some serious overlap with the intrapartum care side of things for some of these responsibilities. So obviously the broad responsibility is to provide comprehensive coordinated maternity care to the pregnant Medicaid population and to share data. So again, this group is completely familiar with that, but in the outpatient setting that may be less familiar and less comfortable. Again, it's sharing data for the purpose of quality improvement, not for the purpose of trying to get everybody in trouble. And the four main performance measures that Medicaid has set to get started with are going to sound familiar to this group. So no elective deliveries before 39 weeks, offering and providing 17P for prevention of recurrent preterm birth to eligible patients, focusing on a reduction in the primary C-section rate, and then conducting a standardized initial risk screening of all OB patients. So again, you can see where there's going to be some serious overlap on the intrapartum side, and particularly the focus on the C-section rate. It wasn't exactly an accident that we ended up focusing in on C-section rate. There seems to be a groundswell of interest. So there was a lot of interest in our participating hospitals. There was a Medicaid push. So it seems like there's a little bit of a perfect storm going on, which I think will really help our goals in our initiative here with PICNIC to try to target the C-section rate, which is to say that providers who are joining networks will also be incentivized to be looking at their own C-section rate because that will be tracked at the practice level. I'm going to kind of skip through a little bit because I know we're short on time, but I did want to talk about the incentives. So some of the benefits of being a pregnancy home, CCNC brings to the table a very data-rich environment. So they link birth certificate data, Medicaid claims data, and then this risk screening data that we're going to be incorporating so that every Medicaid patient seen in a pregnancy home will have a standardized risk screen done at her initial OB visit that sort of helps to flag early on what the high risk, who the high-risk population is. But in terms of specific incentives to the practice, to why you would even choose to do this, aside from all of the greater good issues, there is an increased rate of reimbursement for the global fee such that vaginal deliveries will now bump up to the C-section rate. So even though Nancy pointed out in her talk that isn't a huge motivator or a huge driver of the C-section rate, I think it's an important step that we're taking in North Carolina to at least take that perverse incentive off the table so that at least, even if it's only in name and doesn't really drive the behavior, at least to model that we want to pay for the thing we want, so we're going to increase the rate of vaginal delivery. Now, that being said, you know, we did have the rate cuts not long ago for OB care, so what it actually does is bring the vaginal delivery back to what the global fee was before the rate cut, but that's going in the right direction, so that's encouraging. But again, it's a little bit of a pay for performance strategy, in that we're targeting the thing that we want to see more of and paying more for that. Similarly, providers, practices that do this will get a $50 incentive payment for each initial risk screen they do on each Medicaid patient. So using that standardized risk screen. And they will get a $150 incentive payment just for doing the postpartum visit. So obviously there's a real focus on improving the quality of postpartum care and making sure that women are getting the referrals they need. Of course, 70% of our Medicaid population loses their Medicaid at the end of the postpartum period, so that postpartum visit is really important in terms of follow-up and linking patients to what they need before they lose their insurance. So really trying to make sure that those patients are seen in the postpartum period. The other incentive, it's a nice carrot, is just the prior authorization for OB ultrasound will be lifted for participating practices. They'll still have to be registered with MedSolutions, so all that information still has to be keyed in, but the prior authorization, all that documentation won't be required. And then there's also the fact that working on some of these issues, much as we've found in PICNIC, by working, you know, there's some strength in numbers, and working across the state, we seem to get a groundswell and we seem to have a bigger impact than trying to fight these battles locally. So just working through this network structure does kind of offer some advocacy opportunities and just a place for voices to be heard. So a recent example is that already a pharmacy working group has formed around the issues of, in terms of procuring 17P and long-acting contraceptives for Medicaid patients, as those have been barriers for patients getting those. I'm going to just flip through because we're running out of time. I think these slides were also shared, so I'm just going to leave this up there to show some of the risk factors that we'll really be targeting. But if anyone has any questions, I'm always happy to talk about this and interested in hearing what people think at the hospital level, at the individual practice level, at the nurse level. Hopefully this is a step in the right direction and we'll create an infrastructure that we'll be able to build from in terms of bringing our OB providers out in the community into this network structure and giving an outpatient structure to do this kind of quality improvement work such as we've tried to create in the past couple of years on the inpatient side. And this is where things get a little complicated and where I'm happy to have a follow-up conversation, but this is going to be a partnership with public health. The maternity care coordinators, as they're now known, will be an essential partner. They'll be providing the targeted case, the care management for patients that are identified as high risk early in pregnancy so that hopefully we can really appropriately target those services to the patients who would most benefit from them. I think that's all I'll say for now. I did want to acknowledge, since I have on the phone one of the members of the work group who's been helping to develop this. So Trish Beckman at Catawba Valley Medical Center is our midwife representative on the work group that's been putting this together. So if you want to hear the midwife perspective on this, I'm going to guess that Trish is willing to share her view as well, but she's been participating in meetings for the past several months as we've tried to pull this model together. And like I said, stay tuned. This is coming in the spring. There has been some information in Medicaid bulletins already, and there will be regional training statewide for interested parties, practices, providers in March.